Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, brought to you by
Pacific Gales.
Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hi again, and welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. I'm Mitch Lawrence, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the seaside golf capital of the world is where I call home. Darren is out there in California, fantastic spot. And Darren, this is what we've kind of been waiting for. We've had great podcast episodes with Shane Bacon, but now it's time for his Emergency Nine.
Oh, and Shane, as always, delivers the big hitting, big swinging, monster golf playing. Shane Bacon has been a lot of different places. He's had a ton of different experiences. And of course, with the smooth sounds of that wonderful voice, he is going to bestow his Emergency Nine answers upon us. And included in them, probably one of the more unique answers we've had to a golf apparel you'd recommend to everyone question. Plus, he's going to talk about a course in East Texas that we are now dying to play.
Absolutely. And I know everybody's going to really be up for that whole discussion. Glad you found it. GolfNewsNet.com, iTunes podcast, and Audio Boom.
Boom
is where we are. And obviously, that is very exciting to us. Darren, you can find on social media at Getaways Golf on Twitter, at Golf Getaways on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E. And before we get to Shane, we want to talk about a place that is, for both of us, it couldn't be more exciting to talk about Pacific Gales and what's about to happen. If you haven't heard about it, new oceanfront golf course project planned along the coast of Oregon, about 30 minutes south of Bandon. And you need to check out PacificGales.com. You'll get a sneak peek and also some really stunning sight photography from our own Brian Orr.
You know, what's even better about this is you can be part of making Pacific Gales a reality with the Pacific Gales Founders Club, with the Pacific Gales Founders Club, which we believe just might be the best deal in golf. It's a lifetime of links golf for you and your family in an unforgettable location, plus a host of other benefits and VIP treatment at what some are calling the most exciting new golf project in America.
And I have to say, just seeing you've been up there, you've been there a lot, but just the pictures and seeing what the location, what the landscape is like, views of the Pacific Ocean, the Cape Blanco Lighthouse, Port Orford Reef Islands, Humbug Mountain, which might be my favorite name for a mountain, and a whole lot more. And it's got a dunesy golf course design that's going to be, it's really going to rival the greatest golf courses across the United States. So we are excited about Pacific Gales. For more info, follow at Pacific Gales, that's G-A-L-E-S, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or go to PacificGales.com. Today. All right, here we go. It is time for another edition of the Emergency Nine Golf Trivia Quiz. And who better to take it than Shane Bacon, Fox Sports, great coverage, U.S. Open, U.S. Senior Open, great podcast at the Clubhouse Pod on Twitter and Instagram, at Shane Bacon on Twitter and Instagram. And Shane, you know by now, because I'm assuming it's world famous, the Emergency Nine is always fun. Thanks for being with us here on Talking Golf Getaways.
I'm excited about the Emergency Nine, and I never say no to an Emergency Nine, so I am in.
Darren, we knew that was going to happen, didn't we?
We definitely did. We knew Shane's Emergency Nine would be one of the most anticipated of the year, just like Tiger's return.
It's early January, Darren, you know that. But, you know, we had a famous Emergency Nine in Scotland and Nairn, and I hope this lives up to that Emergency Nine we had there.
If it's 10% of those, it will be great. All right, let's get started. Your first Emergency Nine question, right off the top, your favorite course and or destination anywhere in the world?
Well, this one's easy for me. St. Andrews Old Course in Scotland.
We did a podcast about St. Andrews, so anybody who wants to find out why can probably listen to that one, don't you think, Dare?
Yeah, but do you have a second answer, Shane? If somebody told you, give us one that wasn't the Old Course.
I mean, we've talked about it as well. I mean, I'd probably say Bandon Dunes. I mean, these are the places that I love to go. I mean, I guess if you threw one in that was a little off the list that we've talked about, I really like going to Nebraska and the Prairie Club. I just love the small places to stay in the golf courses, the 36 holes, and you can get a golf cart, and they got the par three, and they've got a really good, they've got some really good meat there too. They got a good steak.
And there's nothing like a good steak when you after you played a round of golf. Obviously, all those places we love. The second question is, we want to know what's at the top of your golf travel bucket list. And we've heard that you're headed to New Zealand possibly for your wedding. And I'm curious about that trip a little bit on its own. But we also want to know what's at the top of that golf travel bucket list.
If you're asking if I'm taking my golf clubs to New Zealand, the answer is yes. And the answer to this question is also included on the trip we're taking. I would say that the number one golf course on the planet that I'm excited and want to play is Royal Melbourne in Australia. And I'm going to knock that out in March. So it will be checked. I'll have a new answer sometime in April. But that's that was actually, this is going to shock you, but part of the reason we kind of picked that part of the world was, one, it's beautiful, and two, it's got some amazing, incredible golf. So I'm going to play a couple of rounds in New Zealand and get a chance to run over and play Royal Melbourne as well.
Where else are you going to play in New Zealand? Do you know yet?
I'm still figuring it out. I mean, I think Cape's going to be on there, and then I'm looking at a couple other places. We're just trying to weave it in and out. I'm just trying not to miss the actual time of our wedding. You know, I don't want to be too late for that and still wearing my spikes. So I'm just trying to make sure that I don't make anybody mad and still get a chance to play a couple of rounds, because I know New Zealand golf's some of the best in the world.
I love how old school you are and you still call them spikes. That's right up my alley. All right, number three, the best place you've ever stayed.
You know, I was thinking about this for probably longer than I should have. I think it's the Spanish Bay Inn at Pebble. I love the fireplaces in the room. It's really, you know, it's 5-star all the way through. And to me, it's the one that, when the question was asked, it's the one that really popped up in my head, was the Spanish Bay Inn.
Boy, Darren's happy.
Well, yeah, because since we're talking about weddings and getting married, I actually honeymooned at the Inn at Spanish Bay. My wife, like the spouses of the other two of you on this call, is incredibly open to me playing golf when we're traveling. And I knew she was the one for me when she said, yeah, I think it's cool. Let's go to Pebble Beach for our honeymoon.
When they say, yeah, we'd love for you to go play golf, that's just code for, we don't want to hang out with you the whole time, which I understand. And I get that. So it's a mutual respect and understanding there. I think it's very important to a healthy relationship.
All right. So moving on, what is the single best thing you've ever eaten on a trip and where?
Okay. I really want to say Mars Bar, just because I know you get really excited about that, but I'm not going to do it. You know what? We did a fam trip to Amelia Island in Florida, and the food there was, to me, as good as the golf, which is something I rarely say. The food was unbelievable. It was every single meal, it seemed like it topped the next one. And, you know, we'd had these chef's dinners in the kitchen, and I was just so impressed with what they did there. And I mentioned Prairie Club, and I wrote, you know, the food at Prairie Club was sneaky, sneaky good. I mean, they had an enchilada special one day, which obviously enchiladas doesn't sound incredibly sexy, but it was great. And then the steak, I mean, the steak, the one night I had it, I mean, I literally almost brought that thing back to my room. It was so good. I mean, it was unbelievable. So Prairie Club in Nebraska, sneaky good, but Amelia Island takes the cake.
Yeah, and in Nebraska, they've done, at the Prairie Club, they've done a lot of work to improve the food and beverage over the years and have really got it to a point where it really just hammers exactly what you want when you're on that kind of a trip. As for Amelia Island, obviously, I was with you on that trip, and that chef's dinner we had still remains one of my favorites. Plus, if I remember correctly, we spent one evening just tasting tequila, didn't we?
Yeah, that was the evening. Yeah, that was an interesting evening. Yeah, you just had to taste like 4 or 5 tequilas, and I think they had some little snacks with it. But a little fuzzier memory of that evening than maybe some of the other ones. But I do want to say, you know, you hear a lot of like Halfway House talk about food, and I don't think Stream Song gets enough love for the sausages that you get. I think it's on the red course there at the Halfway House, and they have the hot mustard sauce. They have 4 or 5 mustards. That is a great snack. There's no bread. You can get it just the sausage if you want. A great little snack to have in between a round at a great place like Stream Song.
Well, obviously, too, Mitch, I wanted to mention one other thing that Shane brought up. You know, obviously, I have a hand in the new Pacific Gales that's being built up in Oregon, hopefully breaking ground this year. And Shane and I were talking about food. And one of the best pieces of advice I got from anybody as I asked this question was Shane mentioning the idea that at the Halfway House, you've got to have some kind of signature dish or signature item that people come to know your golf course by. And certainly that's something we're going to try to do up there. And it was a great idea. And obviously, you know, Shane has quite a few of those that he's sampled throughout the course of his travels.
He leads the way. He's the explorer. He's the food explorer.
Well, I'll eat anything. That's the key to being a food explorer. Just be open to eat anything.
I didn't want to put it that way, but now that you mention it. All right, next question. Besides golf, I know that's a tough phrase. Besides golf, what's the most important thing to you on a trip?
I would say, you know, you could hear, you know, lodging and a good bed and good food. I think it's really important to have a place walking distance or shuttle distance away where your group can have a nighttime recap meeting. So if it's a pub or a bar or even a relaxed restaurant, I mean, a place you can go in a golf polo, you don't feel like you're intruding on a nice dinner or people in there with shirt and tie and coat. I just think a really relaxed place to enjoy the evening where you guys can yuck it up and talk about what happened in the round and laugh about some good shots and some bad shots. To me, that's important. That's why I love so much, you know, Bandon. And really, Cabot has that as well. Cabot building that pub that's, you know, probably, 70 steps from the hotel. It's a place where you can go and sit and enjoy yourself. And really, if you don't want to shower, if you want to go in your golf clothes, that's okay as well. But I just love a place where you can all hang together. Because if you're going on a group with some people, you're not all playing together that day. But you do want to hear what went down in some of the other groups. And I think having that is important to the camaraderie of the whole experience.
Yeah, that's actually Mitch's number one answer in his emergency nine was the same thing. The hang spot is crucial. And I know everywhere we've ever traveled together, you know, that's what you want to do. You want to have a few and just talk about, you know, what you've done that day, because golfers love to talk about golf and they love to drink and they love to eat. And so if you get a place that has all of that, like down at the Bunker Bar or some of the other places, you know, you can't go wrong. So. Okay, so let's move on. What's the one piece of golf apparel or equipment that you would recommend to everyone?
Okay, so you're going to go play golf at some of these places. It's going to be cold. You're going to get a nice rain gear, all that good stuff. You need to get cart gloves, a good set of cart gloves. I have some Ping cart gloves, and they're amazing. And if it's cold and chilly, I think keeping your hands warm and your ears warm are really important. And having those cart gloves when you're walking between shots just really, really warms you up. And it's something that I will not leave home without when I go play anywhere where it's potentially going to be cold. And it's nice because as long as it's not raining too hard, a lot of them are a little water repellent as well. So they really do keep your hands warm. You can throw hand warmers in there. And to me, you can't play golf with really cold hands. It's just you can't feel the club and you lose a lot of feel in that.
You know, it seems like such a natural thing to say you're the first emergency nine answer to mention cart gloves. You're just out there by yourself, Shane.
Well, what are some other things you're hearing? I mean, umbrella, rain gear, you know, a good pair of shoes. I mean, I get all that. But I mean, if you're going on a golf trip, you're prepping for months. I mean, these friends of mine that went to Bandon, I feel like, you know, they prep for months and months and months, and you get all of the important stuff. But, you know, those little things like that can really, really enhance your experience. Keeping yourself warm on a golf course is extremely important, especially when the wind's blowing or if it's raining a little bit.
Totally agree. A+. All right, next. Now, Darren and I have had the pleasure of playing golf with you, of standing next to you on the tee, of hearing the sonic boom of a bacon drive, watching the Great Short Game. You've played the mini tours. You've played, I mean, you're a great player. What is your handicap? And why even ask what yardage you play from? But there is a follow-up question. Let's start with your handicap. What yardage do you play from?
Okay, as of right now, and I hate talking about my own golf game. It's like one of my least favorite things to talk about. But as of right now, I just looked at my Gin app, and I think I'm a +3.4. But I've been playing, you know, the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 months, I've really been playing probably some of the best golf that I've probably ever played in my life, even back to when I was actually trying to compete and play this silly game for a living. And I play the back tees almost every time I play golf. The few exceptions will be if I'm playing somewhere, like when I went to Erin Hills, I played a couple of tees up a few times just because I know the USGA is not going to have it at 8,100. So I played a few of the tees up just to get a feel for them because I played a couple of rounds there. But, you know, for the most part, I'm moving it all the way back, you know, as much as I can.
Okay, here's the follow-up question. And under the heading of things Darren and I'll never say, 8,100 yards. That's two golf courses for us. Do you ever, just for the fun of it, go up and play the forward tees or a set back from the forward tees? Do you go on a trip and just say, okay, I know I can play from back there? Or for you, is the challenge just about how low can I go?
You know, I have done that. I have moved up. If I'm on a trip, like I was on a trip a couple of years ago with my uncle and my dad and my buddy Andrew, and you know, one day I think we all played the same tees, and it does give you a different perspective of the golf course. But for me, if I'm playing the white tees, I'm going to be hitting five irons off the tee, and that isn't as much fun. It's not as challenging. I mean, you know, hitting a driver in play is obviously harder than hitting a five iron in play. And to me, to get the full experience and to get the challenge of all the holes that people from the white tees might be playing, it's important to move it all the way back. And I remember one time we were playing Pacific Dunes at Bandon, and I made my buddy go back to that tee that's almost on the patio for the first tee at Pacific. And you talk about a different golf hole from back there. I mean, that thing turns from a fairly easy start to a golf round to a really, really tough driving hole where you've got to hit driver and you got to hit it really straight.
Yeah, and if you don't, you put it into what they have now dubbed the Titleist tree on the right-hand side over there. That I think the Marshals go down there and just get their entire collection of a year's golf balls, you know, in a week in that area. So I think I know the answer to the next question, because I know you play a lot of golf with your dad and your uncle, which I believe when you reference your uncle, that's the famed Uncle Dougie, correct?
That is Uncle Dougie for sure.
All right. So who is your favorite golfing partner and why? And obviously it can be more than one person. We've played a lot of golf with you, but I know there are people out there who you just absolutely love playing golf with as well.
Well, I do want to say this, and this isn't because I'm on your show or anything like that, but you two are such a treat to play golf with. And I just want you to know that there's nobody in the industry that I would ever want to play golf with more than getting it around with you two and maybe throwing in, you know, one more buddy or one more person on a media trip. I just always feel like, you know, Mitch's demeanor is so great. Darren, you just have a good time with whatever you're doing. And it was a lot of fun. That Scotland trip is one that I'll never forget because it was just so much fun to be out there. You know, and you mentioned my dad and uncle, they're always up on the list. But, you know, as for somebody that, you know, if I was going to go play golf with a friend, it would be probably my buddy Ashton. I mentioned him before. He played golf at Utah. We played mini tour golf together out here in Arizona. We both, you know, hung them up similar times, but you know, we have great matches. We have great competition. We play a $5 Nassau every time. And you know, it's always back and forth. And I just think the competition of that, you know, puts him really, really near the top of my list, because you know, when you get to go out there and actually play golf against somebody that, you know, you guys are similar talents and similar handicaps, to me, that ups the experience you have on a golf course.
And if you want to throw a shout out to Ashton, people can follow him on Instagram, can't they? Because I believe I follow it.
Yeah, I think his Instagram handle is maybe Ashton Woods. I hope you like CrossFit pictures, because he posts a lot of CrossFit pictures. He's always posting those things, but occasionally you'll throw a golf course in there as well.
All right, that led me out. I mean, I'm going to like Ashton when I meet him, but the CrossFit part's done.
Yeah, a couple of clean and jerks and you're out. You're done.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for those kind words. We felt the same way. That Scotland trip will live on till the day I die. All right, here's your last Emergency Nine question. And I have been looking forward to your answer to this, because there are a few people, a lot of us travel, a lot of us play. You have played a ton all over the place. What's the one golf course that you wish everyone knew about?
Well, I think that we all would agree on one of them. I'm going to give you two. One of them is Brora in Scotland. We played it on our golf trip. It's you can't miss it if you're in the Highlands. It's really should be a Scottish sin to miss playing golf there. Sheep on the golf course. There were cows on the golf course. A bull was on the golf course right by the ocean, and nobody bothers you. You really do feel like you're kind of all out there alone. Brora is on the top of my golf rounds in the history of my game. There's another golf course called Pine Dunes in East Texas. And you talk about in the middle of nowhere. I mean, even people that play golf there have a hard time finding it. But it's this 18-hole championship golf course that was built a couple of decades ago. And, you know, Dallas people go play it. Houston people go play it. And it's one of those, if you know about it, you know about it. And for 18 holes and for the price you can pay, I'm not sure there's a better golf course in the United States to go play. It is everything you'd want in a golf course and more. The backs are really, really challenging. You can move up and play it. It's through the you know, the tall pine trees of East Texas. Pine Dunes is really, really a hard one to beat.
Oh, we got to get down there and make a trip now. We got to go down there and have you take us on the East Texas tour.
Yeah, we do Pine Dunes. We go play the my little nine-hole course we grew up on. My dad has two golf carts for some reason. He doesn't play golf. He has two golf carts at our course, so we can take those out for a spin. But yeah, it would be a great. I'm not sure you. I guess you could call it a fam trip because it would basically be family trip. You'd have to meet the fam, but it would be a pleasure of mine to do that. Go out there and get to play some of the places I grew up playing, and then get to kind of show you this golf course that I think you guys would really, really fall in love with.
How cool.
Well, and certainly we loved Brora as well, as much as you did. And our friend Tom Mackin, who turned us on to that, we can never thank him enough. We also mentioned Tane a lot from that trip because we absolutely loved playing golf at Tane. So it's just, there's so many great places that people just don't know exist out there. And we're happy to turn them on to it. We wanted to ask you one final question before we closed, because of your connection to the tour now with Fox Sports. Hit us with the one to watch. Who's the big prediction? Who's the guy on the PGA Tour this season who's going to win me a ton of money in my fantasy league?
Well, I think that throwing Wesley Bryan on your fantasy lineup is just a really smart move to make. You know, I've got a chance to talk to him. He's actually going to be on the Clubhouse podcast if you want to hear kind of his goals and expectations. But, you know, this is a kid that didn't have any status a year ago at this time. He wins three times on the web.com. Getting a chance to talk to him, you know, he has that confidence that you need to be great. He has that belief that there's nobody out there that can beat him. He doesn't think Rory can beat him. He doesn't think Dustin Johnson can beat him. And it's not an arrogance. It's just a belief in himself. And that's, to me, one of the more important things about being a pro golfer, is believing that you can act, that you belong out there. And I would be surprised if we didn't see Wesley win once or twice on tour this year. I think any of the, you know, the kind of shorter golf courses like Harbortown or John Deere, places like that, I just feel like they're right up his alley. And I would be surprised if at this time next year we're chatting and Wesley Bryan wasn't a PGA Tour champion getting ready for Kapalua.
Well, I'm writing it down and I'm getting it into as many lists and fantasies as I can right now. So thanks. As always, Shane, a pleasure. Just great information and great passion. It's what you have. It's why we love listening to you, and why I hope a whole lot more people, I know they will. Your voice is getting louder in the game, and I know Darren and I both are happy about that. So thanks for taking the Emergency 9. Thanks for spending so much time with us here on Talking Golf Getaways, at Shane Bacon, at the Clubhouse Pod, Twitter, Instagram. Go listen, join Shane on his journey. Thanks for being with us here, man. I can't wait to see you again.
Hey, anytime, and we need to plan something soon. I want to play some golf with you too. It's been too long. Let's figure out a place we can go tee it up, even if it's for a day or two.
All right. You hear that, Darren?
Sounds good. We'll start working on it right now.
All right. Our grateful thanks once again to Shane Bacon. You can find him at Shane Bacon on Twitter and Instagram, and a fantastic podcast at the Clubhouse Pod on Twitter. It has been just tremendous being able to talk to Shane about Pelican Hill, about St. Andrews, about Bandon, this Emergency 9, which is just truly fantastic. And as always, thanks to you, the listeners, and of course, Darren and I couldn't do this and wouldn't do it without you. Hit us up on Twitter, Darren at Getaways Golf, and me at Mitch Lawrence, LauranceE, or use hashtag Talking Golf Getaways, hashtag Emergency 9, or hashtag our favorite, Two Haggis Bags. And that will definitely get our attention. If you're enjoying Talking Golf Getaways, don't hesitate to share us on your social media. You can rate us on iTunes. Help us spread the word about the best in golf travel. So long, Darren. Looking forward to talking to you again. And as always, until next time, like Tom Petty says, keep running down the dream.